Media shouldn't be one note. Support Rabble.ca and a diversity of voices in Canadian media. Visit rabble.ca/donate to contribute.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and about what's next. It's a show that wants to ask questions, peel back the layers of our average everyday experience, and go beyond scratching the surface. We interview amazing people with incredible ideas and stories who have done wild, weird, and wonderful things. Remember that imagination shared creates collaboration, and collaboration creates community, and community inspires social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face. So today I'm talking with two women about a film called Beauties of the Night. It's about Mexican showgirls, or as Olga's going to tell you, about show women. This is a film about women who have reinvented themselves over and over, in a variety of different ways, and in just so many different settings. And I think you're going to be brought in on the inside, behind the curtain, if you will, and the lives of these fascinating women and their careers and what they're now doing and where they're heading. So join me with Maria Jose and Olga as we talk about their film, the Canadian premiere of Beauties of the Night. And stay tuned also for more information on davidpecklive.com about my speaking, my book Real Change is Incremental, also about my podcasting, and rabble.ca. You can find out more information there and lots of podcasts to choose from as we highlight the Toronto International Film Festival this year. Stay tuned for Beauties of the Night. So welcome to Face to Face. We are joined by two very lovely and special guests here today in Toronto at the Toronto International Film Festival. I don't even know what day it is anymore, actually. I've completely lost track. But thank you to Maria Jose and Olga here joining us. Why don't you both introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'll introduce myself. My name is Olga Briskin. I'm a violinist since I was a years old. And by the time, during 40 years, I was a show woman in Mexico, dancing, singing, acting, and mainly playing the violin. And this picture is kind of a portion of that kind of life that I had before. But formally, I describe myself as a violinist.
Violinist and a showwoman. And we're here to talk about the film that you star in, Beauties of the Night. And Maria Jose, tell us a little bit about yourself and about, just give us a quick introduction to the film.
Well, I'm Maria Jose Cuevas. I'm a Mexican filmmaker. I'm the director of Beauties of the Night. We're having the Canadian premiere tonight, and it's a film about, it's, the thing is, if I call showgirls, it's not the same in Mexico. In Mexico, we call them vedettes, and it's not quite the same here than in Mexico, because vedettes were big celebrities. They were big. They were on TV. They were on nightclubs. There were cabarets, movies, and so on. Not only here, like showgirls, there are like dancers in Las Vegas and things like that. And but it's about life, no? It's about how you have to reinvent yourself. It's about being woman and being strong and still keep going, no?
So it's a film about many things to me. As a performer as well, I spent about 20 years on the stage. I have to say, as a magician, as we mentioned before the tape was rolling, I felt a little bit of an affinity. I was saying to Maria Jose before you arrived, Olga, that I have friends who are in very similar positions, who've been working show business all their lives, circus acts, magicians, musicians that are in a very similar position and kind of looking at what's next and kind of wondering, right? But for me, this film was about gender. It was about women's issues. It was about exploitation, you know, male exploitation and the male gaze and how men sort of perceive women and vice versa and how they kind of sometimes blend and sometimes don't. So did you go into it with that idea in mind, Maria Jose, or was it more, I want to make a film about these wonderful women who have spent their lives entertaining people?
Well, first of all, sorry for my English.
And sorry for my for my Spanish.
I'll try to be clear and good.
And take your time.
No, first, my idea was making this film as an homage. No?
An homage. Nice.
Yeah. Because I remember those women since my childhood. And when I was a little girl, I used to go with my father to some theaters to see those shows. I was a girl, a little girl, but even my father took me to those places. So instead of seeing Star Wars at the theater, I was seeing Vegas shows.
Hanging out with Vegas showrooms.
Yeah.
Or Vegas-like showrooms.
Yeah. So, of course, those women were in my memories, and I felt so attracted to their world. So when I grew up, I wanted to make this homage.
How come you didn't grow up wanting to be a showgirl?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, because I don't have the physical attributes.
You don't play the violin.
Play the violin. I don't dance. I don't have the physical attribute. I'm more in the artistic.
You're a storyteller.
Storyteller. Yes. I'm a graphic designer. That's my profession.
So what did the movie kind of turn into then for you? So it started as an homage, as a way
an
affectionate story, probably, right?
Yes.
As it started.
Yeah, they were those very familiar memories, no, that I had. You see, when you are a child, no, there's some things that stays in your mind forever.
Yeah.
And that happened to me with the vedette. So when I grew up, I met Princess Yamal, one of the characters, and she just appeared one day. She invited me to have dinner at her place, and she dressed like a vedette, and she danced for me after dinner. And she said, I don't know what I felt I had to do that. This is a present for you. It's been more than 30 years that I don't do that I don't put that dress on, but I just felt I had to do it.
Yeah, there must have been some kind of sense of mystery or wonder to the show. I mean, as a magician, having, you know, done that for many other people, I hope, created those moments, there must have been something like that kind of reached in and grabbed you by the heart and the soul, it seems to me.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
That's why they were, like, so, so big also, no?
Yes.
Because they were there in the stage and they were hypnotizing the audience. Well, she's here and she's
going to talk about that hypnotic
effect. She's going to talk about that. I was not there, but of course. But then I met them and the homage was more like my relationship I had with each one.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was very intimate and very...
Very much so.
We were very connected. And I think that's because we are all women also. So, well, I spent 8 years shooting the documentary.
8 years making this?
Yes.
Wow.
So, of course...
That's a testament to your passion and your commitment and to the clearly to the relationship that you had with the women in the film.
Yes, of course you can see that, no, in
you
the
really
film.
Can. Yeah.
Because at the end, the camera completely disappeared. There were no more cameras and they were just... the way they are, no, without makeup and without, there's only, I don't know, you already saw the film, there's always a very thin line between the character
right.
and the human being.
Sure, sure.
Because
sure.
That's how they are in real life. I mean, they are not acting. The vedette is still with them. They're still, even though it's been 40 years, the vedette is still there. And the human being and the woman.
Olga, tell me about that. You called yourself a show woman, not a show girl. I think that's really interesting to me. And so I'd love you to tell me more about even what Maria Jose has said about the idea of that line between the character, the performer, the entertainer, and the actual, you know, person, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was my own producer all my life on stage. So I was very clear to classify my showgirls into my review on the dancers. So when they called me before a showgirl, I said, you know what, I'm not a showgirl. Why? They didn't want to offend me. But I knew the difference. How I can help it? I went to Las Vegas plenty of times to get inspiration for my shows. And the showgirls in my production, they supposed to only wear the beautiful outfits, the huge feather costumes, and walk and look beautiful. That was all the requirement. Mm. But the dancers, they supposed to dance in a strong manner with less outfits to bother the movements. So that's why when they call me showgirl, say, no, I'm not a showgirl, I'm a show woman. Why? Because I did everything on stage. What means that? I was acting, I was singing, I was dancing, and completing my act with a violin performance. So in other words, I understand the confusion, but I don't take it. I don't take it because I'm not a showgirl. I was a show woman. They call it Mexico vedette, which is not offensive, but I play the game, so why not? Oh, did they say Olga Briskin is a vedette? Okay, who cares? It doesn't hurt.
There's a sense in which, as an audience member watching it, I felt as if some of you had been kind of used or exploited or almost borderline abused in a way as entertainers over the years. And I thought it was really interesting when you said show woman, because it's a, for me, this is what the film really, to me, is about, is the sense of empowerment and the freedom to be
right.
to be who we are, which was delightful and for all of us, not just for entertainers. So did you ever find that you looked back and you said, wow, they really took advantage of me? Or were you always pretty much in control?
Well, I would say, now I'm a Christian woman, I would say I took advantage of them. Why? Because it's the way I was. I was ambitious, I was frivolous, I was promiscuous. So instead of saying, oh, all the gentlemen took advantage of me, poor Olga, I say, oh, poor guys. I was taking advantage of them, but they didn't even notice it. And they paid the price, but I paid the price as well later on. When I get old, I paid the price to use men. I use them. And I admit it, but I was forgiven by God to use male, use their money, use their power, use my connections through sex, through alcohol. I use everything that I could in order to be bigger star in Mexico. And I think I was in a manner that everybody thought I had a perfect life. But surprise, I had not a perfect life. I have a life when I was taking advantage of my youth, my power, my body, my coochie-coochie period. I was considered Mexican, like the Mexican Charo. Charo is a very friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, Charo. She was famous in the States because of the phrase coochie-coochie-coochie-coochie.
Okay,
yeah. I said, oh, Olga Briskin is a Mexican coochie-coochie, equivalent to Charo. I was, you know, happy with that concept.
Sure, with that.
Because I admire Charo. Yep. She's a great musician. She's great. I said, oh, I love the comparison. I love it.
Did you always want to be a big star? Did you always, from a very young age, did you have this sense that I'm going to play the violin, I'm going to dance, I'm going to sing, I'm going to produce? Or did that sort of kind of happen along the way?
Yeah, you're right. My big goal, being the daughter of a very famous Russian violinist, it was to keep the legacy of the Briskin dynasty. So what means that? I was trained for about 10 years directly by my father, Elias Briskin, who was considered among the most top violinists in the world. So the daughter should keep going with that musical legacy. But surprise, when Maestro Briskin, my father, passed away, we were into the lacking of money, lacking of food, lacking of this, lacking of that. In other words, I start hating poverty. Say, I hate this, not having that. Why? Why we don't have... And you know, that pushed me into a corner that I thought it was not option for me. So when the producer saw my physical, my appearance, they said, maybe this lady, a violin lady, without the violin, is going to be a better product.
Right.
Suddenly I thought, maybe they're right. Maybe, yeah, I put the violin, I give a break to the violin. Was too many hours practicing, so I don't have to practice anymore. I'm going to be showing in bikini my body. I'd pay me better than being a
violinist. I bet.
So that opportunity broke all my dream. What was my dream? To be an international violinist, elegant musician, traveling all over the world with Sarah Shawn, with Vanessa May, all those great violinists like Isaac Perlman, version Mexican style. I couldn't. Why? Because the lacking of everything, the minimal needs, were not supplied. So when they say, you have to be this and that, and we'll give you the chance, TV, national TV, but you have to dance, you have to sing, you have to act, and you have to show a little more of your body. I thought it was a game. I said, I'll play the game.
Well, like you said earlier, you learned how to play the game quickly.
Very quickly. Immediately. Immediately. And the game, it was successful by the period of time. How long? From I was 18 years old until I was 48. I was in Vegas, and my show was working very nicely. People admire my ability to play the violin, to show some glamour, Mexican production, the glamorous in Vegas. But suddenly, something happened. What? I forgot that I was getting old. I forgot. So the game was over.
When you watch the film now, after having spent 8 years with it and with these women and building relationships and falling in love, I would imagine, on a variety of levels, what have you learned not only about yourself and showgirls and celebrity and all those things? What did you learn? What did you see in the film that you didn't sort of originally plan to be there? Does that make sense?
Yes.
What sort of, you know, bubbled to the surface as you saw the final cut?
Well, for me, it's the most important, enjoyable thing I ever did in my life. For me, it was, well, I spent the last 10 years of my life doing this film. So, of course, they're part of my life, no? And I learned also a lot of myself. I mean, they were like real teachers to me also, no? At the end, there was this complicity between me and them. So, I learned about youth, aging, about being ourselves, about not pretend, about to reinvent themselves. Well, it's all in the movie. When we edit the film, my sister edited the film, and it was very clear between she and me what we wanted to tell and what we didn't want to tell.
Right.
No, we had like almost 200 hours of footage.
Wow.
So of course we had to look at 200 hours of footage, and it was very easy when we knew what we did not want. So it was like, okay, this is not working, this is not working.
Right.
No? And what we wanted is the feeling and the emotion and what they what I learned with them. That's in the film. Everything I learn being with them, it's in the film.
There's a real, for me, I got a real sense of wisdom that comes out. Like you said, they became real teachers to me. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the line, Olga, I think it was you who said, where's the line here? Hang on a second. It's, you realized it was heartbreaking to realize that there was something missing. I think that was you in the film that said that. And that's,
she,
I mean,
hasn't
that's,
seen the film.
Oh. So how that's interesting.
Yeah,
is that because you don't want to, or just
No, I didn't have the chance. So tonight, after seeing the movie, my violin will know what to do. Or I play for Maria Jose, or I break my violin into her head.
So much trust between the two of you then.
Tell me, haven't even seen it.
Yes, interesting.
But what I was very clear with Maria Jose in the very beginning, I said, okay, my only requirement for you, dear Maria Jose, being who you are, because I'm a big fan of her dad as an artist, says you have to present in this film my two lives. What I mean with that? Okay, I give
your
you whatever you want in the past.
Yep.
You take the footage you want from whoever gives you the footage, but you have to make sure that the people know that I'm a Christian woman today. I'm a preacher of the gospel. So this is not a game. Jesus Christ is not a game.
I can say that it comes out in the film.
Oh, I'm glad.
That's
oh,
right. So you don't need a shot of whiskey before the...
I don't need a shot of whiskey now. So she fulfilled, as she said, yes. For the reason I believe in her words.
Right.
To say, don't worry, it's even good for the movie to see the transition.
Question for both of you. Is this also a movie about choices? You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't help but think, how would these women have turned out had they made different choices? You know, whatever that means, whether they went into entertainment, or maybe they chose something else, or maybe they chose to work with somebody differently. How could have things been different, you know?
Oh, well, absolutely, your question is very clever, because life is a matter of choices. My choice was to go to the easy way, in a way.
Right.
Easy way, in a way.
Right.
Shortcut. But there is no such a thing. There is no such a shortcut. I took the choice to make money, to be bigger than I really was, to use, as I said, I'm embarrassed to say though, but I have to tell, I use gentleman in my favor, in my favor. In my bank account, in my advantage.
Right.
Of course, my choice, it was wrong. So for the viewers who see Bellas de Noche, they will say, oh my God, these ladies, some of them took the wrong choices, and I am one of those who took the wrong choice. Even I didn't see it when I was 20 years old.
So it's. I'd be interested to know what you think after you see the film. If in some ways, because it is not a dark film at all. It's very hopeful. It's delightful. It's uplifting. It's delightful. It really is. And congratulations, by the way. I forgot to say that. It almost to me sort of plays not as a warning, but as a reminder that choices matter, right?
Choices matter.
What you do today is absolutely going to affect what happens
tomorrow.
You know
what, it's a good message for the younger generations.
Absolutely, yeah.
If you take the choice to do the addictions, the prostitution, the easy life, eventually, listen to me, you will have a harder life. Eventually, everything looks so cool. Oh my God, I'm a sex symbol of Mexico. I do whatever I want when I want it. Yes, dear, for a short period,
for a period of time. Right.
So it's a good message that she's presenting in the movie. Say, you know, be careful when you do your selections, your decisions, because eventually, or you will win, or you will lose.
Well, it's going to have an impact not only on yourself, but on others as well.
Absolutely.
But it's also a movie about choices now, today, no?
Right.
Not about choices in the past.
It's not about the past, yeah.
It's not about the past. It's the present what matters, no? It's the present that really I admire more than all the glamour. I admire them as human being in the present. Because so they had to make maybe wrong choices or not, but now they are making other choices to keep going.
Well, the thing to me too that comes up is, I mean, these women are all so strong in their own ways. I mean, yes, different lives, different choices have brought them to different places in their lives. There's a sense of loneliness to some degree, not with everyone in the film, but and so my heart kind of went out to some of the women in the film. But at the same time, they're very strong. They are in control. And the line, I think it was Wanda who said, you know, the freedom to be yourself is true freedom, right? Mm-hmm. And that's really what choice is all about. I mean, just for, it seems to me anyway, for all of us to take those, I don't know, to passionately commit.
And they talk a lot of about freedom.
Yes,
no?
a lot about freedom.
So there are free women, and for example, I mean, okay, Wanda Seux lives with 49 dogs. It's her choice, no?
I didn't realize I missed the 49. I knew it was a lot of dogs. I didn't know it was 49.
You can see some of them, but yeah. Now I'm telling you,
well, at one point,
it's 49.
I was actually trying to count the dogs in the film.
But yeah. It's her choice, and that makes her happy,
yes.
No?
Yes,
And it really does. I mean, Wanda loves her dogs, and she's happy with her dogs. And it's a choice. So everything in the film, it's a choice. Rosie Mendoza is a choice that doesn't have a man, no?
Right,
and she
right.
said, I'm not going to wash any man's sock.
Right,
no?
Yes, yeah, that's a very
so
funny scene.
So that's another choice, no? So it's about choice and freedom.
I don't know. You can remind me, but one of the women was being the show women was being interviewed and said, "quote Some people say the past is always better. I disagree." Was that you too?
That's yeah. Her. Yeah.
So when are you writing your book? I think is the question.
I already have a book.
You already have.
Yeah,
a book.
The name of that book is the Old Violin.
The Old Violin.
The Old
nice.
Violin. Why nice. The Old Violin? Because my violin has been next to me all my life. Since I was 8 years old until now. So the violin was a witness of my glory in the industry in Mexico, and the violin, it was the witness of my fall, but always next to me. So I was talking to my violin when I didn't have any people to talk around. I said, I need to talk to somebody. And he was here, like, okay, I better talk to you, right? Could you have been next to me all my life?
And a nice, Olga, and a nice symbol for the future as well, it seems to me, because at any time you can pick it up and create, right? Create something new, something fresh.
Definitely. So I was very happy with and thankful with Maria Jose, because it seems that the film has my new life. Even the new Olga is an old one.
Right.
It's my new life today. So I have a partner, which is my old violin. I have a father, which is a heavenly father. I have a savior, which is Jesus Christ. So in other words, I don't need anything. I admit that my violinist ambition, it was broken when I was 18 years old. Why? I don't know. But in the other way, I feel thankful because thanks of my choices, wrong or right, today I am this film.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I mean, and maybe this isn't all that insightful in some respects, but you do have to remember that you are today because of all of us, because of where we came from, the divorces, the relational breakdowns, the good things, the positive, the schools we attended, the friends, right? And so we're all pieces. That's all part of that puzzle of who we are today.
Yeah.
So in a sense, nothing to be ashamed of. That also comes up. I mean, there's so many things your film is about.
Yeah.
I mean, to watch the film just on the surface is, I think... is really misguided, which I think is really fascinating in a way when it's about show women, right? And celebrity, and about the Las Vegas of Mexico.
And
Very ironic.
I love what you are saying because, well, of course, Olga is a big, big, big celebrity in Mexico City, so everybody knows who Olga is, and there's a song that everybody was singing in that time, that it's everybody wants to see Olga.
Even the children.
So there was this
wow.
song that everybody was singing. Everybody wants to see Olga. And for me, it's very interesting what you are saying, because at the end, we are showing this film at TIFF, no? And, well, you just say, no, it's about so many things, mm-hmm. not about those vedettes or those showwomen. It's about life. For me, it's about life. No? And life itself has so many levels. No?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It's such a beautiful metaphor, and thank you for sharing the film with us, Beauties of the Night. It's premiering tonight.
Tonight.
I'm so excited
for
you guys.
Mind, or I play or I crush.
That's
it.
Right, no. Yes. I'll look in the news tomorrow to see
it. It's a film made with so much love.
I can see that. It's a very intimate portrayal of these women.
I'm not going to spend 10 years of my life doing something that I don't love, no?
Yeah,
and with the characters that I don't love and admire and I'm in love, you know, it's there, I hope.
We're here today with Maria Jose and Olga and the film, talking about the film Beauties of the Night at the Toronto International Film Festival. Thanks for your time
Thank
and
you.
For your generosity. I really
you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.